Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, it's time for the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. We'll take a look at today's college football landscape with insights into the big games this weekend from the top 25 to the SEC. With interviews, scoreboard updates, and more. The Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show is also brought to you in part by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Inns Bank, the Klein Preston Law Group, Penn Station East Coast Subs, Casa of Nashville, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, and real estate agent Richard Courtney of Frederick and Clark Realty. And now, here's your host, Johnny Ballpark Franks.
And welcome again to another edition of our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Jay Henson making sure everything runs smoothly for the next 2 hours. Broadcasting from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, the coldest team in town. Now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. If you'd like more information, you can go to their website, gogginkold.com. Coming up at 10:20 this morning from Knoxville, Will West, co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML, will join us. Not only talking Tennessee, Chattanooga, SEC, and more. Also, a real special treat, 10:45 this morning, Pete Arbogast. He is the voice of the USC Trojans. Big game this afternoon for Southern Cal as they take on BYU. And it's going to be really fun, not only talking about this hot start for USC, but also when we think about the 150th anniversary of college football being celebrated this year, just the role that the Trojans have played in that, too, over the history of college football. In the 11 o'clock hour, 11:05, Doug Segrist will be a part of the show, co-host on Birmingham's The Zone on ABC 3340. We'll get a complete look at the SEC matchups today from Doug's perspective. And then at 11:35, we'll visit with John Clay, sports columnist with the Lexington Herald Leader, as we preview Florida and Kentucky tonight. And by the way, one of our trivia questions today, which SEC team has the most consecutive wins currently going into this week's action? And you start thinking Bama? You're maybe thinking LSU? Who would have guessed that Florida leads the way? Six-game winning streak riding in on the line tonight in this matchup on the road against Kentucky. And, oh, by the way, number two is Kentucky with five straight wins. So who knew? The next closest, by the way, three, both Auburn and LSU with three straight wins. But, yeah, top of that list, Florida and Kentucky, it was like, nice little head-scratcher there. As far as college football action, started off, we've gotten away from Thursday night games, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. So last night we had some key moments in key games. First, one game involving a team ranked in the top 25, and I just can't help but every time I see Washington State and seeing Mike Leach on the sidelines, wondering, I know he's, quote-unquote goofy. I remember I've had him on the show before as a guest. I would ask him a question, and he would pause for about 5 seconds as he spit into his cup before he would answer. But you can't help but think of how exciting that offense would be. You know, what could have been over in Knoxville. Washington State, it was a tough game. I mean, first of all, Houston, it was technically, I guess, a home game for Houston, but they weren't playing in their stadium.
No.
But with that said, give credit to Washington State. They trailed at halftime to Houston 14-7. It was a battle of the Cougars, too, the Washington State Cougars, the Houston Cougars. And Washington State, with their two touchdowns in the third, and going into the final 15 minutes, had the 21-14 lead. They stretched their lead to 21.
21, yeah.
But Houston closed within seven, and that was the final outcome. How about Anthony Gordon? It just seems like Washington State, they lose Gardner Minshew, who, by the way, was supposed to back up at Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama last year, and Washington State said, hey, we got a place for you. Said all kinds of nice, he led the college ranks in passing last year. And then last week, we saw him again emerge after Nick Foles goes down with the broken clavicle for Jacksonville. So here's somebody expecting to hold the clipboard all afternoon, goes in 22-25. Jacksonville didn't win against Kansas City, but he looked good. I bring it up because Anthony Gordon now, in these three wins for Washington State, every game, 400 yards passing or more, three touchdowns passing, in all these contests. He's the one of only three quarterbacks in the last 15 years that can say that in their first three starts, 400 yards plus passing with three touchdowns in each of those games. Last night, for example, 36 of 48, 440 yards and three scores as Washington State comes from behind and they beat Houston 31-24. How about the game where you had a couple of streaks here? Wake Forest, they were up 21-0 at halftime. North Carolina adds a field goal right in the third. But then North Carolina closes within three, 21-18. Wake Forest adds a late field goal there to go up by six. North Carolina, their final drive ended on Wake Forest's 42-yard line, and there was some controversy because from a North Carolina perspective, you think you've got a second left because the receiver stepped out of bounds. Well, right. Here's the thing. His momentum was stopped, and that's why the clock kept running, and that's why North Carolina, from a replay standpoint, did not have a chance for one Hail Mary pass into the end zone. It was two teams, by the way, both in the ACC, but it was not an ACC game. It was considered a non-conference game. It was just an extra game, right. And I've seen that before, but it was the first time in ACC history that that's happened. So how about Wake Forest? A surprise 3-0 start on the season. North Carolina 2-1, but the surprise there is the fact how well they've played. The fact that, in the first two games, pulling out games in the fourth quarter, last night with Sam Howell directing as far as the offense there for the Tar Heels, they had another opportunity. So it looks like under Mac Brown, this group is going to be very, very competitive. And you can also say that about, one Les Miles. Remember how Les Miles couldn't seem to get a job again after getting fired from LSU? So he takes over probably one of the worst football programs, especially Power 5 conferences. You think Vanderbilt has issues. No. Kansas has issues, yeah. Right? So what is Kansas? So they go on the road. They're a 20-point underdog last night against Boston College. And Boston College, let me just tell you from a historic standpoint, they play well on Friday nights, especially Friday nights at home. So a 20-point favorite. And looking early, after the first quarter, up 17-7, it looked like it was going to be one of those nights again. Somebody forgot to tell Les Miles in Kansas this. They take the lead at halftime, 28-24, and then they outscore Boston College 20-0 in the second half. Kansas, once again, a 20-point underdog. They win 48-24. Kansas is 2-1 on the season. How about the fact that until last night, you had to go all the way back to 2008, the last time Kansas beat a Power 5 conference team on the road. 48 straight losses by Kansas until last night. And how about the other part, too, that when we think about Les Miles, he's one of only five coaches to pull off the wins where they're 20-point underdogs or more. He's now done it twice as far as with Kansas, one of only five.
Wow.
And the other four, we look at the other four who've done it three times. So, that next mark that you want to get to is the third. Only four coaches have been able to pull that off. But just outstanding play. Nobody really saw this coming as far as from Kansas, the way they started their season so far. And thumbs up. Les Miles, nice guy. And
wonder how much grass he ate last night.
I go back to, we talk about the Nick Saban effect. And, you look at what LSU could have been without Alabama being in their way. All of those disappointing losses. I mean, I always thought it was unfair for LSU to have to play Alabama for the national title. And this is before the playoff when we only had the two-team BCS. And the fact that LSU went on the road, beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, and then had to see them again for the national title. And it's tough to beat a good team twice in the same year, and certainly LSU could not pull that off. And then you see the game-winning drives like in 2012, 2014, where here's Alabama winning games that they probably had no business winning against LSU, which in the end was the demise for Les Miles with the Tigers, and the fact that he was not wanting to give in with regards to the quarterback situation. And by the way, speaking of which, our SEC Player of the Week, no question about it. How about the outstanding play so far this year with Joe Burrow, quarterback of LSU? Last Saturday night, it was one of the only two matchups where both teams ranked in the top 25. And in this case, just a great game with two teams ranked in the top 10, with LSU on the road taking on Texas, number 9 at the time. And the 45 points that LSU scored against Texas, the most by a Tigers team against a top 10 opponent since they scored 48 in a 48-7 victory over then number 9 ranked Virginia Tech back in 2007. But Joe Burrow, first of all, career highs as far as passing yards and completions, 471 yards passing, completed 31 passes in that 45-38 victory over Texas. So he was 31 of 39, 4 touchdowns passing. And those passing yards, by the way, ended up as far as from a historical standpoint, the 400, we're talking about the second highest number in LSU history.
Wow.
Second highest number in LSU history. Plus, we're now also talking about another school record, a streak going on that he currently keeps extending. 5 straight games now, he's completed 20 or more passes, most in the history of LSU football. So I bring it up. We look at the matchups today as far as conference play. 3 games this morning, Mississippi State hosting Kansas State. So you got the SEC versus Big 12 there. Georgia playing host to Arkansas State. Once again, this game kicks off just after 11 from Athens. Really cool thing going on over, you know, last week was really cool with the fact that they're, you know, renamed the field after Vince Dooley, the legendary Hall of Fame coach who we had on our show last week as well. So this week, to me, the nothing comes close to this. You know, back in August, the head coach for Arkansas State, Blake Anderson's wife, Wendy, passed away. She had battled breast cancer for 2 years. And so we see whiteouts, we see redouts, blackouts, whatever the case may be, depending on school colors. Major thumbs up for Georgia today. Although their school colors are red and black, we're having a pink out today over at Sanford Stadium as the Bulldogs play host to Arkansas State, not only in honor of breast cancer awareness and research, but also to pay tribute to Wendy Anderson, the wife of Arkansas State head coach Blake Anderson, who once again passed away back in August. Major thumbs up. A very cool thing what Georgia is doing today. Words cannot express, you know, how meaningful that is. And certainly I know we're all impacted either directly or indirectly with cancer, and just love the, you know, what they're doing today over in Athens, Georgia. Also kicking off in 11 o'clock this morning over in Knoxville, Tennessee, 0-2. Do we even want to imagine what life would be like if we're talking about an 0-3 Tennessee team, if they lose to Chattanooga? I mean, even with the win today, knowing what the Tennessee Vols are facing in their next 4 games, I mean, next week, Tennessee on the road at Florida, then the bye week, then host Georgia, then host Mississippi State, then visit Alabama. I mean, you're staring, even with a win, you're still looking at most likely a 1-6, 2-5 at best, but probably 1-6. You better win today. I know there's all the speculation that, okay, that makes him, you know, Jeremy Pruitt, that seat even hotter. I don't think he'll be coaching Florida next week if they lose to Chattanooga today. As far as the afternoon games in the SEC, 2:30, and we'll get more into this conversation too with Alabama at South Carolina. I put this in perspective. The last time Alabama lost to a team in the from the SEC East, this is regular season games, the SEC championship games, college football playoff, etc. Alabama, since they lost to South Carolina back in 2010, they have reeled off 24 straight wins against teams from the SEC East. And to put this in perspective, the Tennessee Vols, starting with that loss back in 2016 to Vanderbilt to wrap up 2016, the Vols are 1-8 against teams in the SEC East. So 1-8, while Alabama has reeled off 24 straight wins against the East. That kind of puts it in perspective. 3 o'clock this afternoon, Arkansas plays host to Colorado State. Both of these teams 1-1 on the season. Also at 3, Ole Miss looking to go 2-1 on the young season as they host Southeastern Louisiana. And then all the rest of the games under the lights. Texas A&M trying to bounce back after losing to Clemson last week. Number 1 ranked Clemson 24-10. Today they host a 2-0 Lamar team. Also at 6 tonight, down on the plains, Auburn under the direction of true freshman quarterback Bo Nix, looking to go to 3-0 on the year as they host a 1-1 Kent State team. And then as well at 6 o'clock tonight, one of the only 2 SEC games matchups as far as for both teams from the SEC, Kentucky
Florida, both 2-0, winning streaks on the line. We'll get more into this conversation about this game, especially next hour when we visit with John Clay, sports columnist with the Lexington Herald Leader. And then the other two games tonight, LSU at 6:30 hosting Northwestern State. Northwestern State 0-2 on the year. LSU once again 2-0 on the season. And then finally, Missouri 1-1. They will be hosting Southeast Missouri State from the OVC. 6:30 start time tonight from Columbia, Missouri. Vanderbilt, the only team from the SEC, off this week. Next week, they get to host LSU. 11 a.m. kickoff from Vanderbilt Stadium. That's coming up next Saturday. Coming up on the other side, a chance to talk some Tennessee Vols, SEC, and more. Will West, co-host of Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML, will join us, getting his thoughts on these matchups today, and especially the look about what it's been like to be a Tennessee fan and those conversations in Knoxville. This segment brought to you by the Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and the Southeastern Conference, with over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group, they've represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, KleinPrestonLaw.com.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. For over 17 years, InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Prank Show.
When you talk about sports radio, it's pure. Okay, it's not sound bites. Mr. Franks, man, you do it as good as anybody. So I really appreciate, you know, in my time in Nashville, you watched me grow up. You've helped me grow. Okay, man, you've provided plenty of conversation, you know, man, for us to talk about all things Vanderbilt. I thank you for that. I truly do.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
You're listening to the Countdown to Kickoff Show with Johnny Ballpark Franks.
And welcome back to our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. We'll be with you this morning to noon, and like we do each and every Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, right here on Nashville Sports Radio with our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. A little bit later this hour, real special treat, 10:45 this morning, Pete Arbogast. He is the voice of the USC Trojans. Big contest this afternoon for USC, looking to go 3-0 on the young season. as they take on BYU. We'll visit with Pete Arbogast a little bit later this hour. Plus, just after 11, at 11:05, Doug Segrist down in Birmingham, co-host on Birmingham's The Zone on ABC 3340, talking SEC. But right now, a friend to our show during the week and also to our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate show as well, Will West, co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML, joins us a little bit later on, or right at after 11 o'clock Central Time. Will, obviously, Tennessee, I don't know how you would describe this game against Chattanooga. This is one of these take-care-of-business games. I came up with a stat, you know, because South Carolina is hosting Alabama this afternoon, and South Carolina is the last team from the SEC East to beat Alabama. You have to go all the way back to 2010. So Bama has a 24-game winning streak against teams from the East. And I thought, okay, let's just see how Tennessee would fare in recent memory. Tennessee, to put this in perspective, with Alabama's 24-game winning streak against teams that Tennessee faces year in and year out, Tennessee is 1-8 in the last 9 games against teams from the East, dating back to that loss to Vanderbilt, wrapping up 2016.
Yeah, it's been a train wreck, right? It just hasn't gone particularly well at all for Tennessee. Over and over again, you keep seeing Tennessee with this problem, though, right? So ever since, I guess, the end of Philip Fulmer's tenure into now, Tennessee has been a train wreck. And so, and you know, at the end of the day, There is a problem in Tennessee. And Tennessee, like we talk about the coaching hires and all the different things like that, and maybe they haven't recruited as well, or they're, you know, guys recruited to different systems. The disease for Tennessee is their boosters. That's the disease for Tennessee, and it's why you continue to see this problem. Tennessee actually has good boosters. The problem is they have like 10 of them, and you have to appease all of them, which is one of the reasons why, even though revenue's not great from ticket sales and season ticket sales and things like that, you see Tennessee in those top 10 lists every single year as far as top revenue. Tennessee 2 years ago brought in the most revenue for any programming all of college football. Yet this is the product that you're getting on the field right now. The problem is you have a lot of boosters. You have to keep everybody happy. And so then once you start trying to compromise to get what this booster wants and this booster wants and this booster wants, you end up splitting the baby in so many halves that you end up having, you know, nothing really left. The other side, too, is you have a lot of old school guys that used to play at Tennessee, and they look for 1960s-style leaders of men to be coaches. That's not who wins games these days. Really, honestly, it's weird people that are the best coaches in college football right now. I mean, you wouldn't call Nick Saban your typical 6'2", 240-pound, square-jawed authoritarian, right? The guy just wins. Dabo's weird. I mean, he just kind of is. And it's one of the things that when I found out so many boosters fought against Mike Leach having this job because they thought he was weird and he would say things at press conferences, I'm thinking, who's the good coach out there in college football right now that goes and wins the press conference? And that you would look at it as like in the NFL it works, Mike Vrabel. A Mike Vrabel-like leader of men. That doesn't win in college football. Weird people win in college football. And for some reason, over and over again, it comes down to whatever the personality is, because that's what you have to do to keep the boosters appeased here. And over again, Tennessee makes bad decisions with their coaching hires. Look, Jeremy Pruitt's good enough from an X's and O's perspective to have this job. Can he manage a program? So far, the answer's been no. So he's going to have to learn on the fly and on the job and dig himself out of a hole to get there, because it's really not gone well so far.
I mean, the problem, and you could see this with that line of thinking, you know, because there was a day and time when Alabama, when Bear Bryant was head coach, he knew that he would gauge his season and his team on how good they were going to be by the outcome of the Tennessee-Alabama game year in, year out. And it's tough to change the way you approach, you know, these teams and these seasons. If you want the football program of the past, you think you have to get there by still living in the past. And certainly a Mike Leach doesn't fit that mode. But here's the thing. What he does fit is, in fact, last time I checked, winning more games than anybody's been coaching Tennessee. And the fact, yeah, he's different. He's quirky. I will be the first one to admit that. But what's wrong with that if you're not getting, you know, in trouble and you're not on probation and you're winning games? I mean, sometimes you have to go, look, what you've been doing for 10-plus years is not working, and it's to the point now is the fact that nobody remembers the last time Tennessee was relevant. Forget about the national scale. Nobody remembers when Tennessee was relevant and from an SEC standpoint. I mean, Tennessee-Florida, 11 a.m. kickoff next week, that tells you all you need to know about where Tennessee is today.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't know where it gets better if the same people continue to be the decision makers at the University of Tennessee. Chip Romm would have been the coach at the University of Tennessee, and you had a group of boosters that were mad that they were cut out of the hiring process, and they threatened to yank their money. And so the then president of the university said, okay, we're not going to pay the buyout. And this was after Romm had already hired assistant coaches from other schools and things like that and had set up his staff. So at least gotten a verbal agreement. So you would have had Romm. I don't know if Romm's won an SEC title, but I bet he's probably doing better than this, right? Heck, he's doing better than this at Purdue, which is as tough of a place as you can have to win games in all of college football. So, I mean, you could have had Romm there. You could have had, let's go back, Gary Patterson. I do think that when Mike Hamilton, there were other guys that Tennessee was going to hire, and they interviewed Lane Kiffin, and he came and said, I'll bring my dad, who's the defensive coordinator in Tampa Bay right now, running the Tampa 2. Defensive genius. I'll bring all these great recruiters. And he got mesmerized. Well, then Lane and his wife could not deal with Knoxville. I mean, if you're the coach at UT, you can't just walk into the grocery store. That's the way that it goes. And they did not like that at all. So it kind of freaked out a little bit. So they, from what I'm told, Layla didn't like that when she went to, like, Target, somebody might walk up to her and talk to her, and it weirded her out a little bit. That's just Knoxville, and that's the UT coaching job, right? So culturally it didn't fit. And then they got into this thing where they started worrying about, okay, well, who's a cultural fit and who's not a cultural fit? So instead of hiring, at the time when they could have hired Derek Dooley, they could have hired Kevin Sumlin. I don't know why, and they didn't know if culturally he would like it here, and they were worried that he might leave if he didn't like that because he's a kind of private guy. And I'm thinking, well, okay, I don't know if he was going to win a lot of games. He's going to win more than Derek Dooley was, right? The guy's coming off of a 4-win season when you gave him the job. There Les Miles last night. I don't know if Les Miles, what he would have done here. Les Miles did everything he could to get this job, including have his agent reach out to media members and try to say, can you just get us an interview with Fulmer? That's all we're looking for. We'll bring in a dynamic offensive line to be the next guy that's the coach in waiting. Coach Miles just wants to retire there. His daughter wants to work in the media there. And that's kind of where they want to set their family up for the next couple decades. And they wouldn't even speak to Les Miles because he's weird in press conferences. Well, he smokes Boston College last night, something I don't know that Tennessee could do right now. So it over and over again, you just look at the different missteps that Tennessee had. Kyle Whittingham, they could have hired Kyle Whittingham. They were afraid that because he is a Mormon, that religiously he would feel uncomfortable. Now that they were uncomfortable, he would feel uncomfortable here because there's not an enormous Mormon population here. So they didn't hire him because they're worried that he would like it. This is where Tennessee's boosters and administrators in the past have gotten in their own way over and over again. If Kyle Whittingham's here, I don't think Tennessee goes through Butch Jones or any of this stuff. Just over and over again, you watch the missteps that Tennessee's made, and it's the same people making the same bad decisions. Here's my concern, right? If something happens to Jeremy Pruitt and it doesn't work out, right now there's nothing you can point to that says that it's going to. From what people told me, who Philip Fulmer wanted at first was Dave Doran at NC State. Like this was the next way he wanted to go. And it's just, what are you talking about, man? Like, even everyone's evolved, and for some reason, these guys just haven't. And even Saban right now, who is as defensive of a coach as you're going to get, Belichick, as defensive of a coach as you're going to get, you've got to get up and down the field and put points on the board. And these guys just have not evolved to that. They wanted a ball control, function of the mouth coach. Well, there's not a good one in college football. So I don't know what you're going to do, right? I don't know how you're necessarily – David Shaw, well, he's not coming. That's about he could – and probably Darren Mason would do a good job here. He's not coming either. So I don't know where else you're going to look for the type of coach that these guys want. So until Tennessee rolls over this generation of decision makers, I think you're just going to deal with the same thing unless they just fall backwards into an Urban Meyer decides he wants the Tennessee job and they hand him a $10 million check situation. That's the only way I think Tennessee gets fixed long-term, where it becomes nationally relevant. They might be able to fall into somebody who becomes SEC relevant, where you can, you know, have a Jim McElwain like here at Tennessee. I can't imagine that these guys who have made so many bad decisions for the last dozen years are going to start making good decisions all of the time.
Well, I mean, everybody just assumes that Tennessee is winning this game, which I think would be a huge mistake to assume this. By the way, the 0-2 start against non-conference teams, only three times over the last 100 years that you can say that about Tennessee football. The last time happening in 88, but only three times 0-2 against your first non-conference opponents. Here's the thing. Would Jeremy Pruitt be gone if they lose to Chattanooga today? I mean, is he gone will he be on the sidelines against Florida if they lose to Chattanooga?
He will. I think he will be against Florida. But honestly, I don't think Coach Fulmer wants to take over as interim. And I think
here's the thing. Isn't Fulmer and Pruitt the same thing? I mean, he's Pruitt's guy. He's actually coached on the field in practice during Pruitt's regime. And I'm pretty sure that anytime he wants to give some advice to Jeremy Pruitt, he's available. So I don't know if that would be the perfect scenario either.
Oh, I don't know if it would work. I guarantee you it's the way that would go. So, I think Coach Fulmer's smart enough to know I don't want to go out there against Florida, Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama, maybe South Carolina games the earliest. I think you could see something done if Tennessee loses this game today.
All right, 11 a.m. kickoff from Knoxville. We'll see where we stand. Because, look, even with the win today, I've already thrown it out there, you're still looking at 1-6, 2-5 in the first seven games if you're Tennessee.
Yeah, I can't fathom it actually working out where this isn't the worst year in the history of Tennessee football.
All right, we appreciate you. As always, if you want to keep up with Will on Twitter, it's simple, at Will West, WNML. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks a lot, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Will West joining us from Knoxville. Still coming up a little bit later this hour, Pete Arbogast. He is the voice of the Southern Cal Trojans. Southern Cal off to the 2-0 start this year. What about Keaton Slovis, the true freshman? Another true freshman quarterback. When JT Daniels goes down, everybody thought, uh-oh, USC's in trouble, right? We're talking about a guy that, percentage-wise, tied with Jalen Hurts, best completion percentage in all of college football. That's what Slovis has done, not only his first career start last week, but backing up and coming in for the injured JT Daniels in week one. But last week, 28 of 33, 377 yards, 3 touchdowns as he led the Trojans back. They were trailing 17-3 to 23rd ranked Stanford last week. How did that impact the Trojans the rest of the way? No problem. Outscoring Stanford 42-3 the rest of the way. But Pete Arbogast will be joining us at 10:45. As always, we know you have choices, and we appreciate you joining us every Saturday morning with our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. This segment presented by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. If you're looking for the ideal destination for family fun, a place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment, check out Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. And with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. We're talking about locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, which includes bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home.
Knowledge, trust, results.
Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick & Clark Realty. 615-327-4800.
Penn Station likes to mix things up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads for any time. Penn Station's got a variety of delicious extras for everyone in the family. Fresh cut fries, cheese bread, kids' meals, and chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
This is Jim Renitz, CEO of InsBank. For over 17 years, InsBank has been proudly helping Middle Tennessee businesses, people we consider friends. InsBank is a true local bank built by and for Nashville business leaders, a place where clients' best interests come first, a place where you have access to local decision makers, and a place where you receive the personalized service you deserve. It's because we are a different kind of bank that knows what makes sense for you and your business. Come visit us at our Green Hills or Brentwood office or online at InsBankTN.com. Your bank, your partner. Get to know InsBank, where genuine matters.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Now back to Johnny Ballpark Franks and the Countdown to Kickoff Show.
And welcome back to our Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. We'll be with you this morning until noon. Don't forget, at 2 this afternoon, pregame coverage, and then kickoff just after 3 from Nissan Stadium, Western Kentucky today, taking on Louisville today. Once again, 2 p.m. for the kickoff. Excuse me, 2 p.m. for the pregame. We kick off just after 3. All the action right here on Nashville Sports Radio. It's time for our weekly Armed Forces update, brought to you by Penn Station East Coast Subs. How about the Army Black Knights? They're 1-1 on the season. Last week, for the second straight year, losing to a top 10 team in overtime. Last week, they had a chance to go up by 10 late in the third. They decided to try for the end zone on a pass. It was intercepted. But it was losing in overtime to then number 7 Michigan, 24-21. Today they'll be at Texas San Antonio, 2:30 start time for that one. And if you recall, last year it was Army losing in overtime, and it was an Oklahoma team taking Army to overtime, and it was the Sooners prevailing last year, 28-21 in overtime. So back-to-back years where Army loses to a ranked team on the road in overtime. Navy, a 1-0 on the year. They were off last week. They have only played one game. That was the opening week, Labor Day weekend. They beat Holy Cross 45-7. Today, they'll be playing East Carolina, 2:30 start time for that one. And then the Air Force, the Falcons, also 1-0. They were off last week. Today, they'll be at Colorado, noon start for their contest. In the opening week of the season, they beat Colgate 48-7. Interesting game for Air Force. Besides Colorado today, a surprise team, one of those surprise teams for 2019, with Colorado's start, including their overtime victory against Nebraska last week. But Air Force on Friday night will be taking on Boise State, this week's team ranked 22nd. In the AP poll. Our Armed Forces update brought to you by Penn Station East Coast Subs. Check them out. Locations to serve you in Hermitage. Also, the two locations in Murfreesboro, Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway, for all your tailgating needs, viewing party needs. They can put together nice party trays for you. Also, don't forget, for the entire month of September, you can try the Chicken Choices Subs along with wraps with chips and drink at a special price. That's Penn Station. It's all about good taste. Coming up at 11, we'll be keeping up with the games that are kicking off, those early games, especially with the three teams from the SEC, Mississippi State hosting Kansas State, third-ranked Georgia hosting Arkansas State, as well as the Tennessee Vols as they play host to Chattanooga today. Other games we'll be keeping updated with, as far as the second hour of our show. Sixth-ranked Ohio State on the road against Indiana. 23-game winning streak against Indiana for Ohio State, the way they played against against Indiana. Also, a nice matchup, 100th meeting today between Penn State and Pittsburgh. This game is being played in Happy Valley, 13th-ranked Penn State hosting Pitt. 11 a.m. kickoff for that one. How about the upstart Maryland squad already off to the 2-0 start? They totally demolished Syracuse last week.
63-20. Syracuse was ranked 21st, by the way, last week. Obviously, with a 43-point loss, they got knocked out. And Syracuse tonight hosting number one ranked Clemson. But Maryland today looking to go 3-0. They're on the road taking on a 1-0 Temple squad. Notre Dame in action a little bit later on today. 1:30 start time for them. Seventh ranked now in the from a top 10 perspective. They host New Mexico. Just one of the other games involving top 10 teams with regards to this action this morning. Other games that are not involving teams ranked, Cincinnati hosts the Miami, Ohio. Both of these squads 1-1. Also 11 a.m. kickoff, Virginia Tech 1-1 hosting Furman. And then you've got North Carolina State looking to go 3-0 on the young season. They're at a 1-1 West Virginia squad. Just a few of the games we'll be keeping up with next hour. On the way next, the voice of the USC Trojans. He's been in this capacity since 1989. Pete Arbogast, he will join us as our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is the sound of a racing heart. It's beating a little faster because it belongs to a young child. But this child isn't in the middle of a close soccer game or playing with her puppy in the yard. Her heart is racing because she's just been told she has to move foster homes again. Change a child's story. There's a child waiting for a volunteer like you.
Volunteer or donate at CasaNashville.org.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
And your listeners need to know that the nicest guy at SEC Media Days is Johnny Ballpark Franks.
You've always been so kind.
It's just true. It's easy to tell the truth, Johnny.
Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I'm constantly amazed when I drive in. I often stay at the Omni downtown.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
It's the Countdown to Kickoff Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
You know, every time I hear that promo, I mean, that's the voice of the executive director of the College Football Playoff, Bill Hancock, from the SEC Media Days. It's never a bad day when you get such a great compliment from somebody of his stature. So I will always be appreciative of not only those words, but my friendship over the years with Bill Hancock. Next guest, you know, this year, the college football is celebrating 150 years of college football, right? And our next guest, Pete Arbogast, he's the voice of the USC Trojans. He's been in this capacity since 1989. And when you think about college football history, Pete, certainly Southern Cal has played a very prominent role over the years.
Hey, first time, last, a long time caller.
Yeah, love it, love it.
we've never talked before. I've been following the team since 1962 when I was like 7 years old. So I go back even further, but there have been some great peaks and valleys for this university's football team. We seem to be coming out of a valley right now. We'll find out in the next few weeks whether that's true or not. But it's been a blast, no doubt about it.
You know, it's interesting. My first ties and my knowledge of Southern Cal, 1970. I was 7 years old. My parents had a grocery store, and you know, majority of our customers were from the African American community. And so Southern Cal in town to play Alabama to start the 1970 yeah. season. And I couldn't understand, because it was the first time I really experienced that, the fact that how many folks in that community were pulling for the Trojans. And it wasn't until after the game that you really start getting the full impact. And then look, it wasn't like Alabama and Bear Bryant had not already started recruiting African Americans. But that game showed the fans, okay, this is what we can get if we open our doors and not pay attention to color of skin and how it can impact our athletic programs moving forward. And that's what that 1970 game did at Legion Field when the Trojans, Sam the Bam Cunningham, destroyed Alabama on that Saturday night.
I think Bear Bryant knew exactly what was going on and why he scheduled that game against his friend John McKay, and it worked out exactly like they had planned it, I think. And then the floodgates opened for Alabama. And the next year they came to the Coliseum, and it was like a 7-7 tie. So it was an entirely different ballgame. Those were not great USC teams. The 70 and 71 teams were hovering around 500 before they won the national championship with what we think is the greatest team in college football history in 72. Nebraska 71 will argue that. And it would have been fun to see them play. I talk to Sam all the time about that game and new things come out. One of the best stories I have, and it speaks to your point, is that the black fans in the area they lined the streets of Birmingham that night to watch USC's buses come in.
Right.
And they stayed outside and they listened to the game. And then when USC's team was driving back to the airport after the game, they stood and cheered the USC team as they left, too. And then years later, a subplot to that is we played Auburn in, I guess it was 2004 in Montgomery. We stayed in Montgomery, and we played Auburn. And Sam was there with some teammates from the 70 team, and we had dinner with them at a little restaurant, you know, a little hole-in-the-wall barbecue place in Montgomery. And word got out that Cunningham was there. By the time we finished, there were like 150 people, including the wait staff, out there just to get pictures with Sam Cunningham and them to remember that moment.
Yeah, you bring up 71, which is interesting now in today's world with social media. In 71, Alabama switched their offense in their fall camp to the wishbone offense. Nobody knew about it. So they're playing on that Friday night at the Coliseum, and Alabama shocks USC by coming out with that wishbone offense. Alabama wins the game 17-10, and Alabama was unbeaten the entire year, faced off against that Nebraska team you talked about, and it was all Cornhuskers. Now, with that said, Johnny Musso was injured, Alabama's All-American tailback. It wouldn't have mattered as Nebraska wins 38-6 in that Orange Bowl. But when you think about Alabama and USC, two historic programs, I mean, I always loved it, especially when Bear Bryant was coaching Alabama, when they would face off against the Trojans.
Yeah, and we played them again in 78, beat them in their house, and then the AP writers, at the end of the season, they had the same record, and a bunch of the AP writers voted Alabama number one. I have never figured out how that happened. And it's always fun to play them. Well, not always, because the last time we went to Dallas a couple years ago, that wasn't very pretty. We'll do it again next year. Opening game is against Alabama back in Jerry's house in Dallas. So, and we may have like 18 starters back next year. So it could be an interesting game.
You know, here's the USC Trojans team. I know last year, certainly when you think about USC football, you don't want to go 5-7, but it's still a team that the 2 years prior to that, double-digit win seasons. And so from an optimism standpoint, I don't know where the fans were thinking about this year's team. I know from a national standpoint, not a lot of high hopes for USC. In fact, first time you have to go back to the beginning of last decade, the last time USC began a year not ranked in the preseason top 25. To me, it's so far through 2 weeks, we're talking about one of the pleasant stories for 2019 is what the Trojans have been able to do on the field.
Yeah, last time we weren't ranked, it was the first game of the Pete Carroll era. That's a while back now. 5-7 was a little misleading because we lost two of our three best defensive players last year. And had they played, SC wins against Cal, Arizona State, and UCLA, probably go 7-5, win a minor bowl game, maybe go 8-5, which is still not very good, but it's better than 5-7, isn't it? I think most of the fans are thinking like my mom used to think when I got a note from my junior high teacher. She would write back and say, he better do better. Well, they better do better this year. And so far, so good. I think the jury's way out on this still. I don't think Stanford is very good, and we may find that out over the next couple of weeks because they play Central Florida today down there. And then they host Oregon, and I just don't think that's going to go well for Stanford. Even with Costello back at quarterback, I don't think they're good enough to beat those two teams. So they may end up going 1-3. And Fresno State is, not going to scare the pants off anybody. Even though they won 12 games and Tedford's coaching, he's really good. We'll find out a little more today. BYU is better than those two teams, and you got to go on the road for the first time with a young team. That'll be interesting. And then next week, if they beat BYU today here in Provo, and by the way, I'm standing on the corner in front of the team hotel. We're about six blocks from BYU's campus, and it is a Chamber of Commerce day. I'm telling you, it's beautiful here, right up against the mountains. It's going to be about 80 degrees, and summer hadn't given up here yet. It's going to be beautiful. And we haven't played a day game yet. We've been all night games, too. So we'll find out a little more today. And then if they win today, they play Utah next Friday in the right. Coliseum. And that could be the game of the year as far as the Pac-12 South is concerned. And Utah, I think, is a legitimate top 10 team. So it could be really interesting over these next few weeks. And if we get through that, we get to go to Seattle, play Washington, and then we get to go to South Bend and play Notre Dame. So it never ends.
Well, and this is a point where I was just going to bring up after BYU, these next three games after BYU today will be obviously probably determining what 2019 means for USC. Now, you've been in this capacity since 1989. And you have saw the, until last week, only four quarterbacks started as a game as a true freshman for the Trojans. And you had a chance to see all four of the previous ones. Rob Johnson in 91, Carson Palmer in 98, Matt Barkley in 2009, and JT Daniels last year. Now, it's one thing when you're a true freshman and you come in not expecting to play, so you don't have a chance to get the butterflies or anything. And that's what happened in the first game against Fresno State. But last week in his first true start, after, the USC fell behind in that ball game 17-3, here's a Trojans team outscoring Stanford the rest of the way 42-3. Slovis, through the first 2 weeks, tied with Jalen Hurts percentage-wise as far as completion percentage in the country. True freshmen aren't supposed to have that much poise, but he certainly has shown it so far in these first two games.
Well, the first season of the air raid at USC with this kind of athlete running that kind of system seems to be working out okay. Now, Slovis is, like you said, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know any better. And we saw him. I was laughing with the coach the other day because he was being surrounded by maybe 40 or 50 media guys after practice on Tuesday, and he looked like it was just another day at the ballpark. Now, that'll get old real quick for him, I'm sure, but he was pretty happy, smiling and joking with the media. He looks very unflappable. He made great decisions last week against Stanford. He hung onto the ball when he should have. He hardly ever forced the pass. He had a couple of drops along with he was 28 for 33, they had a couple of drop passes, just plain drops, nobody near the guy. The offensive line held up well enough for him to have time, which helps. He rolled out at the proper times and to the proper locations. And every once in a while, he even ran the ball and seemed to pick the right times to do that. So it all worked last week. Will that be the case in front of 64,000 at Lavelle Edwards Field? Probably not. It'll probably drop a little bit, but we're all interested to see if he's got a big letter S on his chest, which stands for Slovis or Superman. We're not sure.
Before we let you go, 30 seconds, let me know what it means for you to be in this capacity, to be the voice of Southern Cal.
I wanted this job when I was 7 years old, I laugh with my statistician, Mark Hoppe. We grew up together about two houses away, and we used to practice games in the middle of the night. on off the TV, and I look at him virtually every game, and we laugh like, how is it possible that we're sitting in these seats doing this for our entire lives? They don't pay me very much. That's okay. I'm really happy. It's a great job.
I want to thank you for taking time out with us. I host the Monday through Friday show in the afternoons here. I'm going to definitely reach out to you again. This has been a real treat for me, and I'm shocked that I have not done it before previously, but I'm certainly glad I was able to get you on today.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, and have a great college football Saturday.
You too, buddy. Thank you. That's Pete Arbogast, voice of the USC Trojans. A very key game for Southern Cal today. 2:30 start time on the road, taking on BYU. And how about another true freshman quarterback, Keaton Slovis? Last week, we're talking about coming in, getting his first career start after JT Daniels went down in that first game against Fresno State. Last week, 28 of 33, 377 yards and three scores, and the come-from-behind 45-20 victory over then 23rd-ranked Stanford. They trailed, by the way. Stanford was up 17-3 in that ball game. And the rest of the way, all Trojans, they won, outscored Stanford 42-3. And through the first two games, it's Slovis, percentage-wise, tied with Jalen Hurts, top completion percentage in the country. In the country, 83%. We'll see how he does this afternoon. Don't forget, coming up just after 11, three games from the SEC kicking off, including Tennessee hosting Chattanooga, Georgia kicking off over in Athens, playing host to Arkansas State 1-1, and then Mississippi State, Kansas State, both of these teams 2-0, 11 a.m. kickoff from Starkville, and those will be some of the games we're keeping up with in the 11 o'clock hour. On the way next, Doug Segrist out of Birmingham, co-host on The Zone on ABC 3340, and a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser, and 1135, John Clay, sports columnist with the Lexington Herald Leader, previewing Florida, Kentucky tonight from Lexington. Hour number one in the books, hour number two coming up as our countdown to kickoff tailgate show continues right here on Nashville Sports Radio.